As we've been working through the book of Hebrews, we've seen that it's had a main theme. And the main theme has been highlighting for us the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially for a Hebrew audience, a Jewish audience of that ancient time, pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior from sin. Hebrews works through using Old Testament pictures, showing again and again that Jesus is greater than all of the angels, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham, that he is the one who can save us from our sins. And so it's really about the supremacy or the greatness of Jesus Christ. And that's been the main theme that we've been working through. But then the practical theme that comes out of that is a challenge. Comes out a bit in chapter 4, more in chapter 6, and then here in chapter 10, we've just looked at it, a challenge to these Hebrew Christians, or at least outwardly, this Hebrew church: don't you dare walk away from him. Don't walk away from Jesus Christ. And as we looked at last week, especially in chapter 10, there is a reality that some could draw back to perdition. Some in the visible church could walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, never having fully put their faith in him, but looking to be or pretending to be Christians for a time, eventually ending up in perdition, even hell. And there's a danger woven in through that in chapter 10 of leaving the visible church, leaving the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that sort of a choice lay in front of these Hebrews. Some of them were going back to Judaism, or were in danger of that, going back to a false religion of works righteousness, becoming apostates, and so they had to be both encouraged, and much of the book of Hebrews is encouraging, but then also warned to keep the faith, to not draw back, to be of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And now here in chapter 11, the value of faith is set on high. That's what this chapter is really about, that there is this precious faith in Jesus Christ worth more than anything, worth even the loss of possessions and persecutions, which many of the Hebrew people would face, but that there is this value that is worth clinging to. And we're going to focus on Hebrews 11, verses 1, 2, and 3 this morning under the theme, the value of faith. First, looking at the substance of faith. Second, the evidence that is faith. And then third, the testimony of faith. So first, faith substance. Now we need to have something of a definition or an understanding of what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is a definition to some degree in itself. We also read earlier in the service from the Heidelberg Catechism the definition there of faith. And what we know of faith and what Hebrews is pointing us to, you can think of the word trust. A trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea behind faith, or the origins of the word faith, does have to do with contracts, or relationships, or legal security even. For example, we still talk about sometimes doing a deal in good faith. That somebody, maybe they make a deal based on a handshake, and so on a handshake alone, they make a deal in good faith that they're going to trade this for that, or they're going to perhaps sell a piece of land. And we have the idea behind that of good faith. And that good faith means that there's a relationship behind it. There's a certain covenantal even relationship, but there's a trust. If you do a deal in good faith, you have faith, or you have trust that the person will deliver their side of the bargain. And underneath the idea of faith is this idea of trust, that they will deliver what they promised to deliver. And here in this context, we shouldn't think of faith just being broad in the sense that our culture uses it. You know that our culture likes to even talk about faith, about keeping the faith, or there's even popular music, you just gotta have faith, these vague ideas of faith. No, this faith in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. In this definition, we have to keep in mind the 10 chapters before this. that have built up to this. And what they've been all about is looking to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so there's a trust here that it's speaking of. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. A trust in God's word, that he is who he says he is. His way of salvation is what he says it is. And that we have a trust beginning, rooted in his word, that's ultimately in Jesus Christ, who is the word. But here faith is worked out in some helpful sort of illustrations. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now that word substance is a good word, but it doesn't quite hit on what an ancient Greek or Hebrew would have read here. When it says the substance of things hoped for, they would have thought of actually another legal term. The language in this first phrase is pretty legal. We just talked a second ago about doing a deal in good faith. So when you trust someone, you're able to do a deal with them and you shake their hand and you trust they'll deliver on what they said. Well, faith is the substance. It actually underneath has the picture of a deed or a set of papers or in ancient times a tablet perhaps that would be stamped and it would actually give a right to a piece of property, or it would give a citizenship. They would use this language for a citizenship that somebody would have. And you can think of it this way, a substance of things hoped for. Think of when you have a ticket to an event. Now the event is yet to happen. Maybe you're going to go to a fall fair at some point or some kind of concert down the road or some kind of conference, and you have this ticket. Now, the event has not yet happened. You're not sure exactly what it's going to be like, but you have this ticket, and it has some description of where you're going, and it has the date that you can go, and it has those things stamped on it. Well, you can almost think of this being like a ticket or a legal, which gives you a legal right to entrance in the future. And it's saying that faith is like the substance. It's almost like a ticket of things hoped for, that when you have faith in Jesus Christ, that you have a hope of ultimate deliverance and salvation. That you're looking forward to a time where he will deliver on all of his promises because you trust in him. And it's the substance of things hoped for. Those are the promises of God in Christ. And we read through Hebrews chapter 11 and we read how the Old Testament saints, that they were hoping even for a heavenly country. But that was their ultimate hope, that he has prepared a city for them. It's the new Jerusalem. It's the new heavens and the new earth that the Old Testament saints were already looking forward to. And the idea here is that our faith is the substance. It's like the ticket. It's like the deed of the heaven that we hope for, of the eternal peace and love of God. You can actually think one of the best illustrations of this is probably John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. In Pilgrim's Progress, there's that man Christian, and he's been set out on a journey to the heavenly city, and it's a metaphor or it's a picture of what the Christian life is like, and there's all these symbols in it. And one of the symbols is as he travels along the road, he's to carry with him this little scroll, and it's a little ticket of entrance to the heavenly city. And if he loses it, it's a picture of him actually losing his assurance of losing his right to the new heavens and the new earth, but it's a picture of a ticket to heaven. And when you think of the substance of things hoped for, that would be a good illustration, that by faith and clinging to faith and refusing to let go of faith in Jesus Christ, that you have the ticket, you have the right to the entrance to the heavenly city. And when you contrast that with what we looked at last week and the picture of those who are drawing back, those are people who are sort of dropping their ticket or letting go of their ticket or going their own way or trying to make their own way of salvation instead of clinging to Jesus Christ and clinging to faith in him. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what we cling to, which gives us the hope of life forever with God. And the danger for the Hebrews is that they would toss out this precious deed. Think of that picture. But they would toss out this faith. Think of a pilgrim on their way to the heavenly city and just thinks, well, this just adds to my load, and this way is getting too hard and it's too difficult. We looked at last week, things were getting hard for these Hebrews. They might start losing their possessions, and they might face persecution, and they might face hardship. And so the temptation was to throw away their Christian faith and go with their own religion. And so imagine a pilgrim, he's standing there and he can continue to go forward, and the temptation is just to toss out this faith, to go his own way. But the author to the Hebrews is saying, no, that's not us. We believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a promise. In the Old Testament, the symbol of that was the pilgrimages to the promised land. That they would have this place to live, which they could settle down in, and they would have peace. The idea of shalom, the Old Testament. But they even knew, by the way, in verses 13 through 16, that wasn't their real homeland. It was actually a symbol of their homeland. And here the call is to cling to faith and even to be heavenly minded. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. A Christian should have a firm and a solid hope of things hoped for, not on this earth the way things are now, but ultimately in the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, that what's even beyond what we can imagine, that we should be hoping for. We should be heavenly minded, thinking even right now to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of God the Father, who's made all things right between us and God, but then also to that eternal future. And so our faith should be a forward-looking faith. And by the way, if you don't have a heavenly-minded, forward-looking faith, a strong faith, that will cause you to collapse in times of persecution or trouble. Because if people are clinging too tightly to the things of this earth, now, it's important for us to have a home, and it's important for us to have a garden or to have a car or these things that we need to get through life. And those are gifts from God, and there's a value to those possessions. But if we're not heavenly minded, we will end up clinging too much to those. There used to be a saying that was popular some time ago, and it's not a good saying, but it used to say, some Christians are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. They're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. It's saying, don't think about that pie in the sky stuff, forget about that, just focus what you have to do here and now. That's the advice some would give. Well, the author to the Hebrews says, no, cling to your faith, cling to your hope of life eternal with God. And your faith in Jesus Christ is the substance of things hoped for. It guarantees you an eternal future of peace. And it's from that foundation that actually the Old Testament saints did all the practical things that they did. As we'll be looking at, Lord willing, the next couple of weeks at those testimonies of the Old Testament saints, it was because they were heavenly minded, because they had this faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, that they could live such radically obedient and zealous lives rooted in faith. Then it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith's evidence. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For evidence, now this is a clearer or a word that lines up exactly pretty much with the original meaning, the idea of what you base a verdict on. So if you ever have to serve on a jury, you're supposed to base the verdict on the evidence that's in front of you, not just how you feel about how somebody looks or how you feel about a certain argument or a certain lawyer. No, you're supposed to look at the evidence and you're supposed to come to a verdict based on that. And so faith is the evidence of things not seen. And that means, by the way, when it says it's the evidence of things not seen, there's a certain side to proof. Now, this is not the proof or the verdict that comes with going out and looking for all kinds of evidence first and foremost, as many people do. They nowadays go online to try and prove something. So if they're researching Christianity, they will go online and they'll try to maybe prove Christianity true or false. Or if it's some other theory or idea, they'll try to work through. And they'll try to work through those ideas they have and try to find evidence online. But really, what are they doing? Well, usually they're just going into an echo chamber. They're going onto the internet and they're finding exactly what they want to find. But this is actually what we could call an experimental, when you think of evidence, you do an experiment often, right? And if the children have learned about science, you have a hypothesis and you have an idea of the way things may go, and then maybe you do an experiment. Well, faith is the evidence of things not seen. There is an experimental side to this, a tested, a tried, and a true side. That faith testifies to what cannot be seen because of the experiment or the experience of the Christian life. That a believer is one who, having experienced forgiveness of sins, an unseen thing, and having experienced the power of God's word, and seeing the difference that God's word makes in their life, and having experienced the joy of knowing something of what the Lord Jesus did for them on the cross, that they now have an evidence of things not seen. We don't get to see forgiveness of sins, do we? In a sort of a literal sense. We see the effects. But this is a matter of faith, and it's the evidence of things not seen. It's interesting that we all, no matter who a person is, they live some degree of a life of faith, don't they? The evidence of things not seen. On a practical level, we all cross bridges in our cars. We drive across bridges, and we show that we have a certain trust in that bridge, and we probably don't all crawl underneath every bridge before we drive over it and check out underneath what's going on and how strong it is. That shows we have a certain trust in an infrastructure system. We've crossed bridges so many times, we've started to trust them for better or for worse. And then you can think of even the brake pedal in our car. We put a lot of faith in it, don't we? We've pushed on that brake pedal so many times and we trust our life with it. Because we've gotten used to it working, and hopefully you maintain your car properly, but we put a lot of faith into practical, everyday things. And here the picture is that the experience of the Christian is that in knowing of Jesus Christ, and having learned of their sin, and having experienced the forgiveness of sin, and the work of the Holy Spirit, and the desire to live a Christian life, that now they have this evidence in their faith of things not seen. And it's not an evidence that is so much proven like a bridge or a brake pedal in that literal sense. It can't be in the context of Hebrews. You understand, we looked at in chapter 10 that these were Christians who actually had lost things in their life. Hard things had happened. Their goods were plundered. People were put in prison. They were persecuted. It's not that this faith was proven by a really easy good life in the human sense. No, that was not the proof. The proof was a growing faith in Jesus Christ, a sense and an understanding of the forgiveness of sins and how precious that is, and that He is the resurrection and the life, and that He is our ticket to being reconciled to God in Christ. And so it's the evidence of things not seen, the forgiveness of sins, and the life, the new life that is in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, both of these phrases pointing to the new heavens and the new earth. And so the author to the Hebrews is contrasting the danger of those who draw back to perdition with those who by faith continue forward with Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. And at the root of that continuing is faith. And it's not a faith in what's seen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't look for miracles as the foundation of our faith. We don't look for conspiracy theories. We ought not to be looking for visible things actually being at the root of our faith. It's interesting that even when it comes to creation, and the next verse, verse 3, is very clear that as believers, we believe in creation of everything from nothing by God. But even that creation, that's not the root of our faith. That's actually at the second level. That's actually a symptom of having faith more here. But the idea is that it begins with faith in Jesus Christ, a confidence in his work that he does and he will save his people, that he has delivered us from our sin. And so we don't look to the visible things, and we don't actually begin even first with looking to creation. That comes in its sequence, and that is a big part of our life of faith. But it begins with this faith that is fully and completely in God's promises. And if you work through Hebrews chapter 11, the big question when it says by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, the big question with all of them is would they believe God's word? So God's word was revealed. Abel, Noah, Abraham, and you keep working through. And all of these people, they had a choice in their life, so to speak, that they could believe God's word or go their own way. So you think of Noah being divinely warned, verse 7, of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He believed God's word. And so faith here is defined as believing God's word and the promises of God's word, and believing that his way of salvation, the ark being one example of that, and then later Abraham's pilgrimage being another example or picture of salvation. The picture is that faith is trusting that God saves the way he saves. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. The picture is, and that's a summary, by the way, verse 2. It's a summary of the whole chapter, and it's pointing ahead to what the whole chapter is going to work through. And the thing in common that these elders had, by it they obtained a good testimony, is simply they believed God. So there's a long list of witnesses here working through the Old Testament, and it looks at the Old Testament through the lens of faith, and it's saying what set apart all the Old Testament saints is not that they were saved by works. It's not that they were good examples, first and foremost, of good people who did good things and therefore God liked them. No, the story of the Old Testament is that at the root was faith. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice because he believed. Not because he just did good stuff and did better stuff. No, at the root was he believed God. And it's implicit in Genesis, or it's behind the scenes in a sense. But the idea is there must have been some revelation through Adam and some knowledge that we should bring this kind of sacrifice. And Abel, he believed that word. He brought an excellent sacrifice, and he testified. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. So Abel becomes an example of one who, in faith, brings a sacrifice. And then it goes on, Enoch. It's not that Enoch was such a good man, being one of these elders with a good testimony, not such a good man that he did so many good works that he walked with God, and that was at the root of his amazing and his incredible story. No, at the root is, by faith Enoch was taken away. He was a man of faith. In his heart, he was a man of faith. And you see, Hebrews 11, as it works through all these examples, it's actually almost like turning a light on the Old Testament, or a spotlight on the Old Testament. Maybe some of you children, you read in the evening in your bed, or you try to read and it's dark. And it's hard, isn't it, to see that book if it's dark and it's shadowy. And so maybe you even try to read with a flashlight in your bed, or you turn on a light when you're not supposed to and you're supposed to be sleeping. But if you try to read in the dark, it's dim and your eyes are straining. Well, one of the privileges we have as Christians is that when we have a chapter like Hebrews 11, it's like turning the light on when we read the Old Testament. Now we have a lens or a light to help us read the Old Testament and to show us that actually what was going on in all these great men and women's hearts was not that they were such great workers who did good things, but that their motivation for doing what they did was that they had a heart of faith, that they trusted God's word, and they trusted that God would deliver them. And one of the greatest weaknesses of our age, the weaknesses of evangelicalism, many modern Christians, is they think that the Old Testament is a story of people who did pretty good things, and then God accepted them. And they think, even some of them, that the book of Hebrews is just for Jews. It's not really for the Christians. But they're missing this light. The Jews did not have their own way of salvation or their way of works in the Old Testament. Hebrews is showing us that Abel was a Christian, that Enoch was and is a Christian, Abraham the same, that they're more like us than they are different, that they began their life and their motivation was rooted not in works and earning their way to God. No, it was in trusting that God would save them. And because they had that faith, now they acted in different ways, but it was faith that made them tick. And it was saving faith in Jesus Christ. And remember that what we've been looking at, I know it's hard to remember the whole book of Hebrews up till here, but Hebrews is perhaps, we could say, the most Christ-centered 9-10 chapters in the whole Bible. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's lifting him high and showing again and again. And you see, this book of Hebrews here in 11, verse 1 and 2, it's not just pointing to some vague faith. This is faith in Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father. And as we work through Hebrews chapter 11, Lord willing, the next few weeks, we will see that these people were looking to Jesus Christ. They were looking for salvation. They were looking to the Savior. They might not have had all of the information that we have, but they were truly believers at their root. And so, here we see that Hebrews, and this is kind of a turning point or a focus in the book of Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And now, as you work through Hebrews, it's going to get more and more practical. But you need to understand that the practical is on this foundation that is Jesus Christ and is faith in him, and that works work out of faith. And so, in conclusion, faith is at the very heart. It is at the core of being a Christian. Faith is at the very heart of God's people, Old Testament and New. And we are to be those that sleep in faith, wake up in faith, work in faith. We're supposed to talk and to parent and to go through each day, to go to church by faith in Jesus Christ. And the two ways of Hebrews are, is that there's the way of by faith, by the way that repetition just by faith, in faith, by faith, in faith, works through this chapter over and over and over. And the calling is that we are called to be like these elders who obtained a good testimony by faith, and everything else is death. And so the call today is to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now unite together in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, our Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope of the new heavens and the new earth and of righteousness in him. We thank you for your word which is revealed to us. And we pray that on this day, as we've been reminded of the value of the preciousness of faith, that there would be none here who lets go of that substance, that evidence, that deed. And we pray that we would walk in the way of faith. Please work in the hearts of our children. Our young people here, we pray that they would have indeed true faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.